All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. We've got a 2025 schedule edition of the show as the Bucks and the rest of the league now have something on paper. You know, we always know what time of year everything's going to happen, but now we have definitive dates, times, places, everything. You can start making travel plans if you'd like to go to a road game, or if you're out of town and you're going to come here into the Tampa Bay area for a home game. Now you know. It's all there in front of us. I love this part. I love this part every year. I know some people say, I can't believe how the NFL turns everything into an event. It's just the schedule release. We already know the opponents. They're just giving us the order. Why do people make such a big deal out of it? Oh my gosh, people will take anything involving football and blow it up into something that isn't as big of a deal as it should be, blah, blah, blah. I love it. Always love getting the schedule. And just like a lot of things I talk about on this show all the time, it's a throwback because I remember the days when the NFL didn't do it this way, and some of my most core memories being a Bucks fan growing up were not just going to the games and not just watching the games on TV or very often listening to them on the radio, because that was back in the blackout days when a home game wouldn't usually be on TV because it wasn't sold out. And we had Mark Champion as the play-by-play guy, then Gene Deckerhoff. I remember that. But I remember distinctly that day sometime in the spring around now. You never knew when it was going to be. Nobody told you. Nobody announced it in advance, hey, we're going to release it. And there wasn't an internet anyway. This is like the 80s and 90s. I used to get picked up from school by my grandma and go to her house until my mom got off work. And I remember sitting there after school, always reading the sports page, eating whatever food she put in front of me. She was a great cook. And I was always big on reading the newspaper. And every once in a while in the Tampa Tribune or the St. Petersburg Times, which is what we had back then, two papers, once a year you'd open that paper up to the sports page and right there, bam, there'd be the Bucks schedule for the coming fall. And it was like someone lit a fire during a cold, dark, frigid, barren night. You're like, whoa, Bucks schedule. And you'd start going over it. Now, there wasn't the suspense that there is now as far as primetime games and things like that, because you knew we weren't getting any of those. But you'd get one usually Sunday nighter or something, and you'd always want to see that and all the other things. And so I still remember those days. Now we get the draft, and at the draft, they go out there and announce, here's the date we're going to announce. Not even the schedule. They just make a big deal of announcing the date the schedule is going to get released, and then a month later they do that, or 2 weeks later, however long ago it was. So we've got it right here now, and we're going to talk about it on the show today, as well as a few other things. Simeon Rice is going to be the newest inductee into the Buccaneer Ring of Honor coming up this fall, and then a few other things going on. The owners' meetings are next week. There's already some murmurs going around out there about some potential things I want to talk about, and we'll get to all that. So first things first, and again, thanks to the guys at JoeBucksFan.com for giving me the opportunity to be on their platform, as always, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, TV, internet, radio. Thanks to you for listening. If you want to get a hold of me, email me. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Plus Twitter, same thing, @BobbyGameDay. Instagram, @BobbyGameDay. What else? Oh, Blue Sky, I'm on that, whatever. You know, they're all Bobby Game Day. If you search it, you'll find me. So let's talk about this schedule real quick. So we got 18 weeks, 17 games. We know the formula. 6 games against your divisional opponents. 4 more games against one division in the other conference, the AFC. This year, that is the AFC East. 4 games against the division in your own conference. This year, that's the NFC West. And then you play the team who finished opposite you. And in this case, the Bucks won the division. So the other two divisions in the NFC that you don't play, in this case, the NFC East and the NFC North, you play the first-place team from that, since the Bucks finished first. Plus that one bonus game of a team that finished in the same spot that you finished in the AFC, that's not the division you're already playing, but the division you played the year before. That's why the Bucks play the Texans. So we knew all this, and we know the 14 of the 17 games going forward 50 years, we already know that. Only 3 get determined by your record the previous year, and then once the regular season ends the previous year, you know those 3 too. And yet, when that schedule comes out, there's so many different ways it can go. So how did the Bucks do? You know, we look at a million different things, and I know since there's no actual football going on, maybe we get a little bit too in the weeds, and we look at all these rest differential, and all that. And we're going to look at that today. But overall, I like the Bucks schedule. First of all, first thing you always look at is the bye week. You don't want it to be too early or too late. Bucks got a nice, you know, middle, meaty part of the bell curve bye week, week 9. So they'll play 8 games, have a bye. Then they'll play 9 games, about as balanced as you can ask for. This is the year where the NFC plays only 8 home games and goes on the road 9 times. And so the Bucks with the 9 road games, the thing that jumped out at me first, before I get to any of the other things with primetime and all that, I'm looking for competitive advantages, like, or disadvantages. And I don't think the Bucks got a bad draw at all. One thing that jumped out, though, they got the 9 road games. 8 of them are in 2-game blocks. They don't really go home, road, home, road, home, road much. Week 1 and 2, away, away. Week 7 and 8, away, away. Week 11 and 12, away, away. And week 16 and 17, away, away. So they'll be playing back-to-back road games, which means 4 of their 9 road games will be coming off of the heels of another road game. And that is not like some sort of death knell or anything. They've done some research, and it used to be worse. Teams like playing the second of back-to-back road games used to have a little more trouble, but now they cover the spread because you can't just go by wins and losses because one team may be better than the other team anyway. But teams playing the second of back-to-back road weeks cover the spread 56% of the time. So I saw that and I was like, I don't like all these back-to-back road games. Then I looked up the stat and I was like, all right, that's not that bad. I think the regular cover rate is, you know, for anybody is less than that. 56% is pretty good. But particularly, I think, just the stretch, week 11 and 12 at Buffalo, then at the Rams, you know, that's a tough ask. You always hope to split something like that. Obviously, you want to win every game. But that's one thing that jumped out to me. Well, let's talk about primetime first, because that's the one everybody always wants to talk about first. Bucks got 4 primetime games, which I think is pretty good. If you had told me they were going to get 4 primetime games beforehand, I would have been happy with that. They were a division champion, of course. You'd expect a little bit of love from that, but they weren't exactly, I mean, you know, kind of like always. I think they were the 7th team in to the playoffs if you go just by record, and they're not normally thought of as a marquee matchup anyway. Although when they have been in primetime, whatever you think about the Bucks record on their own, which isn't great, the Bucks have delivered as far as good. I mean, there have been some wild games in primetime. They didn't end great, like the Falcons game on Thursday Night Football up there last year, the Chiefs game in overtime, the Cowboys game on Sunday night. But they've been some good games. Like, it's been good television, whatever else you want to say. And so the Bucks get 4 of them. They are week 2 at Houston on Monday Night Football, week 7 at Detroit on Monday Night Football, Week 12 at the Rams on Sunday Night Football. That was rumored to be Thanksgiving night if you were on Twitter or anything else and you heard some of the things being whispered. It ends up being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving night, and it's Sunday Night Football at the Rams. Then the only home primetime game is Week 15 against the Falcons on Thursday Night Football. And Joe brought this up on one of the articles on JoeBucksFan.com. You know, the Bucks, we know, we talk about it all the time. Under Todd Bowles, 1-6. During any type of short week, but specifically primetime, they're 1-5 in those night games, and that's not even counting the playoff game. We're just talking regular season only. Of course, the playoff game against the Commanders was a Monday nighter, so it hasn't gone great. But at the very least, I think if you're going to have these games, maybe being on the road, they've really been bad at home in primetime. I mean, you could say they've been bad, period, but I think it's better to have them on the road. I think I agree with what Joe said there. And so, you know, again, I don't know if there's as much to it as people think. I think sometimes there are statistical anomalies, and then people let it get in their heads and say, oh, the Bucks are bad in primetime. And it might just be a random sampling. I don't think they've been bad because they're in primetime. And I still, going back to what I said at the top of the show about being a kid growing up as a Bucks fan in the 80s and 90s, still treat primetime with a sort of reverence because it was just so rare growing up. And it seemed like this impossible dream. Like, they'd throw the Bucks a bone once a year, put them on Sunday night, either on ESPN or, if you remember, TNT Sunday Nitro. They used to split, like, half the year the Sunday night game was on ESPN, then the other half it was on TNT. And that would be the one the Bucks got. And Monday Night Football was out of the question. They were not on Monday Night Football until I was a senior in high school. And Thursday Night Football didn't really exist back then. But my point is, like, it was a big deal when I was a kid, and those things, you know, the formidable times of your life, they carry with you even into adulthood. So I still have a reverence, like, oh man, we're the only game on, we're on national TV. It's like a big event, and I get excited. And I think a lot of us do. So I'll take the four. As far as the NFC South, Atlanta got five. I don't know if that just kind of happened or if there was, you know, a method to their madness or what. The Bucs got four, and then, of course, Carolina only one, New Orleans none. But, you know, I like this draw, and they're spread out. Like, they've got a primetime game in each month of the season, one in September, one in October, one in November, and one in December. So it kind of keeps you looking forward to things, and you don't get, you know, all clustered up and things like that. And aside from that Thursday night football game against Atlanta, which is the only home primetime game, the Bucs have all 1 o'clock kickoffs at home. They do not have any 4 o'clock home kickoffs, which you might be thinking, oh man, it's going to be so hot. Well, yeah, except they only really gave them the balance of home and road is kind of skewed as well. Like, they start off tough. They've only got three home games, in the first 2 months of the season. They only play three home games before November. Weeks 3 and 4 against the Jets and the Eagles, and then week 6 against the 49ers. They're on the road 5 times in that time span. And then they finally start playing a lot of home games toward the end, which, you know, I think it could be okay. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, they don't have any 3-game road stretches or anything like that, but it's just the way it works out with the road games and the bye week. So Bucs fans will have to sit through the heat. Week 3 against the Jets, week 4 against the Eagles, and week 6 against San Francisco. And by the way, that Jets game on September 21st is scheduled for 1 p.m. simultaneously as the Rays are playing across the street. So we were wondering if that was going to happen or if they'd go out of their way to avoid that. I didn't think they'd do it more than once, but I wasn't even sure they would do it one time. So that'll be interesting. I don't think it's as big of a deal as people think, but, I mean, as far as parking and things like that, the Rays use a lot of that north part of the lot, kind of where the old stadium used to be, and I don't know how it's going to work. I'm sure they have a plan. I mean, they've talked about this and things like that. Some people may have to park further away. Al Lopez Park could get a little extra work. Jesuit High School, where the Dad's Club has parked cars ever since before I went there in the 90s, and other places surrounding. My mom's house, she'll park your car. She just moved into that neighborhood off of Himes, the old neighborhood there where I always park for like 10 bucks somewhere at somebody's house. They'll figure it out. It'll get done. But it'll be cool. I think we'll get a lot of good blimp shots maybe, or maybe helicopters. We probably won't get a blimp for that weekend. But maybe let's get some helicopter shots of both stadiums full at the same time with the Rays and Bucks playing within a few hundred yards of each other. That'll be neat. But as far as looking at the schedule, from a fan's perspective, those are the things that jump out. You know, you look at prime time, you look at home games, you look at when the home games are and what time. Like I said, weather-wise, I think those first two might be a little tough in September, Jets and Eagles. The 49ers game is on October 12th. 1 o'clock by then isn't bad. I mean, it's hot, but not that hot. I don't really mind the heat. I just don't like being in the sun in general, even when it's not hot, because I don't like sunscreen. And the sun is bad for your skin, believe it or not. I know some people don't even bother with it. And some people are just blessed with great skin. But I've always worried about, especially I got a shaved head, I got to wear hats and I got to put sunscreen on. You know, it's a whole thing. So that's my thing. It's not even the heat. It's just being in the sun. But by October, it should be okay. And then after that, after the bye, all the home games they have after that are 5 of them. And they should be pretty pleasant, even though, again, most of them are at 1 besides that Falcons Thursday nighter. So excuse me, that's what you look at. And then looking at the thing from a competitive, you know, just purely what's good for the Bucks, what helps the Bucks, what hurts the Bucks. Like I said, very imbalanced home and road. 7 of the first 11 are on the road. And then you've got in the final 6 weeks, you got 4 of the final 6 at home. As far as outdoor road games, you look at that. What's the weather situation there? The Bucks going to have to go into any places that are tougher weather-wise. This doesn't matter as much as it used to. I mean, the Bucks, we all know, used to not be able to go anywhere in the cold and win, but that was mostly because they didn't win on the road in general because they weren't very good. Those days are long gone, though. But the Bucks got a pretty good weather draw anyway. They go to Seattle on October 5th, shouldn't be a big deal. The one real cold weather possibility was Buffalo, and they get that one on November 16th, so not late enough in the year where I think they'll get some huge snow dump or something like that. Shouldn't be too bad. And then the December road games they have are at Carolina, which can be a little chilly in Charlotte, but you could do a lot worse, and at Miami December 28th, where they actually go south. So it should be fine. They play five of their nine road games in places that are either domed or have retractable roofs. Those are the four outdoor ones, and they don't get anything really rough on them in that case. So what about the division games? That's another thing I always look at. And this is weird. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just weird. They're really, really backloaded. Of course, they get the opener against the Falcons in week one. And I've always thought this is just a weird thing I have. I know they play preseason games and things like that, but I always feel like the division games, they matter a little more. Give teams a real game under their belt before you play. I don't think you should play a division game in week one. That would be one of the things I would change if I was commissioner. I'd say, and you know, I know the schedule makers have enough headaches already. It's really hard to schedule 272 games. But that's one more thing I would throw at them. I'd say, hey, no division games in week one. Let everybody play a game first before you get just boom, right in the fire with a division game. But it's not a big deal or anything. Bucks at Atlanta week one. Then they play the Saints in week eight, also on the road. And then they don't play any division games in the besides those two in the first 13 weeks. No division games. And then they've got four in the final 5 weeks of the season. Week 14, New Orleans. Week 15, the Falcons, both at home. Then they go on the road to Carolina. Week 16, one non-divisional game against Miami, and then they close out, as everybody does in the division, against Carolina. So they play Carolina twice in 3 weeks, and they've got four of their final five, and they're only six total in the division. So it's going to be like, as far as I'm hoping, when we're getting down into like November and then December, and we're looking at all these playoff tiebreakers and things like that, there's not going to be as much to go on because the Bucks won't have any kind of division record yet. Sometimes you can already look at tiebreakers and say, oh, they've got the division tiebreaker and this and that, but the Bucks will have only played two division games by then when we really get into the nitty-gritty starting in early December. So, and the backload of the schedule is not bad. I mean, you don't know what teams are going to be like. But that at Buffalo, at LA stretch to close out November looks tough. Then of the final six games, Arizona, who, I mean, again, you don't know, but they don't seem like they should be. Their projected win total isn't as high as some other teams, we'll put it that way. Saints, obviously, same thing. The Atlanta game will be a big game on Thursday night. I can already predict that, I bet. And then Carolina, they're getting better. Those Carolina games could be tough. Miami, but it's not like murderer's row there. It's not as easy as last season. Last season, remember, they had a really tough schedule early and then a really easy one down the stretch, and they capitalized on it and won a bunch of games, even though they were behind Atlanta with no tiebreaker and came back and won the division. Who knows what will be the setup this year. But again, that's just one of the things I noticed. So what about rest differential? We always talk about rest differential, and maybe we overrated a little bit. I mean, again, like I said at the top of the show, we can get pretty in the weeds with this stuff, but you always look at the 17 games. How many times do we have some extra rest versus the opponent? How many times do they have some extra rest over us? And there are six of the 17 games where one team or the other this year has a slight or more rest advantage in the Bucks games, and the four of them go against the Bucks. Two of them go for the Bucks. They're not big. There's nothing huge here. But week two at the Jets, or versus the Jets at home, the Bucks would be coming off Monday Night Football at at Houston the week before, so the Jets will have a 1 day rest advantage there. Not a big deal. It happens. They get kind of a tough break in weeks five and six back to back against Seattle and San Francisco. Both of those games, just by coincidence, Seattle has a Thursday nighter before they play the Bucks, and then San Francisco the following week has a Thursday nighter the same week the Bucks play Seattle, who then they play the Bucks the next week. So both of those weeks, week five and six, Seattle and San Francisco, the opponent will have a 3 day rest advantage because they'll be coming off Thursday night football instead of a Sunday game. Week eight, when the Bucks go to New Orleans, they'll be coming off of Monday night football at Detroit, so they'll be at a 1 day rest disadvantage there. Those are the four that go against the Bucks. Of course, week 10 against the Patriots, the Bucks are off their bye week, so they'll have a 7 day rest advantage there. And then week 16 at Carolina is the game after the Bucks and Falcons Thursday night game. So the Bucks will have a three-day rest advantage there. So in terms of just total days rest advantage, if you do it that way, the Bucks are actually plus because they're at minus 8 and plus 10, so they have a two-day overall rest advantage. But if you look at just games, the Bucks will have four games where they're slightly less rested than their opponent and two games where they are more rested than their opponent. Again, not a huge deal, and I don't think it's something. I think the Bucks got a good draw. But again, these are just all the things you look at and all the things I noticed about the schedule. But overall, pretty good. I'm already excited. I'm looking forward to week one, the preseason games. They didn't release dates and times. I think the Pittsburgh game, they have finally put a date and time out for it. But they're Tennessee at home, at Pittsburgh, then Buffalo at home. Which, by the way, very rare, but the Bucks do play a team in the preseason, Buffalo, that they also play in the regular season. They usually avoid that. And they usually play the Jags or the Dolphins. I get the Dolphins because they don't play them. Or they do play them in the regular season, but thought there'd be a Dolphins game in there just to save on travel. But whatever, you know, they only go to Pittsburgh, and the preseason games will be here soon enough. So will training camp. We got a long way to go, but that's your schedule. And looking at it, hey, there's nothing to complain about. There's nothing you point to and say the Bucks. Oh, here's something they're gonna have to overcome. It's pretty standard, and I like what I see here as far as the bye. The bye week's the big thing, and those four primetime games should be fun. Again, each one a different month of the season, all the way September through December. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com on Twitter and on Facebook. Look me up, whatever, anything you want. I love being in touch with the people who listen. You can get a hold of me. I'm easy to find. Email BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. So, one thing I wanted to mention, before I get to that, Simeon Rice, congrats to him. Bucks Ring of Honor, he'll be inducted. They were talking about who the next person was going to be. Then there was word that an announcement was forthcoming. It was made. It's Sim, so that should be cool. Looking at other names it could have been or names that are coming up down the line, I think Simeon Rice is the one I would have gone with here no matter what. Looking at what he was able to do as a member of that Bucks defense that had all that success in the early 2000s, and of course the Super Bowl. I'll tell you my one Simeon Rice memory off the field. And this is after the whole Super Bowl run and all that stuff. I was a fresh-faced kid at a college working in radio for the first time. This is probably, actually I should have looked up when it was. But I think it was like 2005, 2006, somewhere in there, if I want to say. This is when the Bucks were still at the old One Buck Place, which is where International Mall is now. And I would go every Wednesday to the open locker room media session. It was my job to take a tape recorder in there and hold it up and just get whatever sound from any, on Wednesdays, I mean, they still do it, but they give you the after practice media, go ahead and just go in the locker room, walk around. So I used to do that every week at the old One Buck Place. So I go in there one week, and this is the week when the Bucks, I guess they had sent Sim home from San Francisco. There was all kinds of disciplinary issues going on. And I walk up and he's just talking quietly to the sage, Ira Kaufman, of Joe Bucks fan, back then was writing for Tampa Tribune. And I remember Ira just talking to him real quietly and then turning around and looking at the rest of the media, kind of shrugging, and he goes, Sim's shutting it down. So he just refused to talk to anybody anymore. And he held up a magazine called Black Man Magazine. I'm not making any of this up. And it had a picture of this chick on the front in a bikini, like real voluptuous, and he holds the magazine up, and he says, hey, this is what I was doing. They sent me home from San Francisco. This is what I read on the plane. And he refused to take any more questions and didn't talk to anybody else. And that's just that has nothing to do with his career on the field, which was exemplary, and he was a huge part of the Super Bowl team. So now his name's going to go up on the side of Raymond James Stadium forever, or at least until they try to replace it. And so now you've got, the Bucks have covered a lot of ground with the Ring of Honor, and there's still some guys currently on the team like Levante David who are shoe-ins, but they're not done playing yet. So looking at who the next guy is, I mean, Warwick Dunn's name has come up, James Wilder, who was a huge part of some not-so-great Bucks teams back then, but still a huge part of them. He could be part of it. People have mentioned Tom Brady, even though he was only here for a short time. I say no problem there. You're the starting quarterback for a Super Bowl team. I think you're in. Hardy Nickerson's one I think we should look at. So there's still some time. There's a lot of names that could go in those spots. And like I said, then once Levante David retires, he's automatic. And I hope a few other guys, Mike Evans, we know will be on there. Whoever else, we'll see. some guys still early in their careers that could end up. Tristan Wirfs, I think, will, you know, be a shoe-in one day. At least I hope so. So there's always going to be a few, but that'll be coming up this fall. Meanwhile, next week, there's the owners' meetings. And we'll talk about this more on next week's show, but there was a tweet that just came out a few minutes ago before I started recording. I'm recording this on Friday afternoon, early afternoon. And this is Ari Myroff on Twitter putting this out there. He says, NFL owners will vote next week on a proposal to change the playoff seeding format, where teams would be seeded strictly by regular season record rather than automatically awarding the top four seeds to division winners like they do now. A little bit more detail. If teams have the same record, division title would now be the first tiebreaker, even ahead of head-to-head. So they still want to emphasize the division a little bit. So even if you've got two teams, let's say Bucks and 49ers, both 11-7, and the 49ers beat the Bucks, but the Bucks won the South at 11-7. Bucks would get that tiebreaker as the division champion. That'd be the first tiebreaker. They say they want to do this because they want to. And listen, I agree with this part of it. The NFL wants to increase late season competitiveness and excitement and reduce teams resting starters in weeks 17 and 18. I've been saying that for a long time. I mean, when you have these formulas, and it's the same with the college football playoff, it kind of locks these things in. Like the Bucks, I mean, they were fighting for the division title, but it was never going to be anything but, hey, four seed. You know, like, you could be a division champion and you're locked into the three or you're locked into the two, whatever, you can't move. It's like, no, you know, there might be a second place team in another division who's right there with you, and now this matters. You know, you could be playing for home field advantage. It makes a lot more games matter in the late part of the season. And maybe you, some people have said, you know, counter argument. It's good teams can rest starters. One, we're always talking about player safety. And two, let them have that reward. They won the division. Maybe they deserve to be able to rest starters in weeks 17 and 18. You know, maybe that's all it should be. Here's my thing with divisions, okay? And I get how you need them from a scheduling standpoint, especially in sports like, actually, any sport you could say you need them, but you could also very easily live without them. But they're arbitrary. Like, divisions are arbitrary. People say reward them for winning their division. Well, reward. What did the Bucks do that was so much better than, like, Minnesota last year? I'll tell you what they did. They happened to be located in the Southeast, where coincidentally the other NFC teams in the Southeast are bad. That's it. It's random geography. Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, they're in close proximity to Tampa, and they weren't very good. Atlanta was okay. And therefore, the Bucks 11-7, we place more value on it. We say, oh, no, no. Minnesota can't complain. If they didn't like it, they should have won their division, damn it. The Bucks went and did that, and Minnesota didn't. I hear people make this argument all the time. It's blind, it's brain-meltingly stupid. Like, I don't know if people understand that what they're saying sounds incredibly stupid, but Minnesota, what were they, 14-3 or whatever it was? 13-4? So they did better than the Bucks. Like, you know that, right? I think people think, oh, well, no, the Bucks won their division. That's your first goal. Minnesota should have done that. Well, Minnesota happened to be next to a team that was 15-2 or whatever. Again, arbitrary. They're in the Midwest. We're in the South. And the other teams around us weren't very good, and the other teams around them were very good. They had the Packers and they had the Lions to compete with. Arbitrary! So, you know, my biggest thing is I like things to be fair. Like, I like things to be fair. That's one of my biggest, and I like apples to apples. I don't like apples to oranges. So when you say, hey, and not everybody, look, in an ideal world, everybody played the exact same schedule. That's true fairness, but you can't have a balanced schedule in the NFL. You can in the other three sports. You can't in the NFL. You can't play everybody else. There's not enough games, and, you know, somebody's schedule is going to be different than another person's. But still, if we're counting wins, let's count the wins. 14-3 is better than 11-7. I don't care if the 11-7 team was in a bad division. That's luck. That's randomness. That's geography. And so what this would do, you'd still be guaranteed a playoff spot. Like, if you won your division at 8-9 or something crazy, and there were, you know, eight other teams ahead of you with a better record, you'd still be in. Like, winning the division would still get you that far. But it's no longer going to guarantee you a home game. And I don't know if they're going to pass this. This seems pretty radical. I doubt the owners would go for it. but they're going to at least talk about it, which is a sign of something. And we'll talk about it more next week if it really comes to pass at the owners' meetings. But it is looking like something they're at least going to throw out there. And there are pros and cons to it. Like I said, some people like it the way it, you know, if nothing else, you know, the Bucks and Falcons last year, this past season, and other teams have done the same thing. You know, they were competing hard for something they knew had a great deal of value beyond just getting in the playoffs because they got that home game. And that's something that, you know, matters a lot, even though the Bucks didn't win it. And it makes you say, at the beginning of every year, like the people I've just mentioned, you say, hey, your first job, win the division. That's job number one. Okay, well, if you're going to have some people argue, you know what, maybe you're right, Bobby. Maybe it is arbitrary, but as long as you're going to have divisions, you should do it this way. Otherwise, what's the point of having divisions? And that argument is fair, okay? Actually, let's keep going. Follow me on that. Why do we have divisions? Because in the NFL, you don't play all the time. You only take a few road trips. They're only one play. They're not like baseball where you go on these road trips to three different cities. So the travel's not really an issue. These teams have these beautiful planes. The menus are unbelievable. You get better food than Burns on some of these planes. Maybe we just have an NFC and an AFC. Now, I'm not, none of this is happening. This is all hypothetical. But what I'm saying is, yeah, maybe you don't need divisions. I mean, just take the teams with the seven best records or however many playoff teams you want to have. I'd be fine with that. I like divisional football. It is kind of a hallmark of the NFL, and it's kind of a traditional type thing. But, I mean, if you think about it, no, you don't have to have divisions. And if you are going to have them, then okay, I do see that argument. If you're going to have them, then use them. Don't make them irrelevant in the playoff discussion. So I get that part. In any event, I wouldn't bet much on this happening. I have a feeling things will probably stay the same. But the idea that they're talking about it is indicative of something. So for now, we've got our schedule, kind of all the major like landmarks of the offseason, going back to the combine, free agency, draft, schedule release, all that stuff. Now they're all out of the way. Of course, the owners' meetings may bring some more news, but we're kind of just sitting back. We'll be talking about some things, and we're waiting. I mean, it's May 16th today as I record. It's really just 2 months and change until training camp. Like, the NFL really does, you know, get you almost there with all the stuff they have going on all year long, which is their goal. And you know what? We got a lot of other things going on in the meantime for 2 months. And it's a big sports weekend this weekend. I'm looking at, there's some good hockey. Could be some Game 7s. We'll see in a couple of the series there. PGA Championship. The Preakness on Saturday. Always fun. A lot going on to hold us over until then. But either way, thank you for listening to the Free Stretch. As always, I appreciate it. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. JoeBucksFan.com, folks. Single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, TV, internet, radio, and I am honored, as always, to be on it. Have a great weekend. Weather should be great. Be safe. Have fun. Take care of some things around the house. Have some fun outside, whatever you're going to do. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, that's your post-schedule release edition of The Free Stretch. I am Bobby Fenton, and I will see you next time. Until then, good morning, good afternoon, good night. And go Bucks.